CheersCast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Oh, that stunt tears it. Now I'm mad.
Yeah, I can tell.
A little vein bulging in my forehead?
No.
My nostrils flaring?
No.
My jaws clenched?
No.
Well, then how can you tell?
You just said, now I'm mad.
Yeah, well, now I'm really mad.
Yeah, I can tell. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello, and welcome back to CheersCast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me to cover the next installment in the epic battle of Cheers versus Gary's Old Town Tavern, somebody who knows something about epic struggles, please welcome back the host of Resurrections, an Adam Warlock and Thanos podcast, Mr. Al Sedano. What's up, Al?
Not much, and yes, epic, because there is no more epic struggle than between man and black cardamom.
Very much so.
Every damn time, almost every time. Yeah. But we'll get to that.
I'll mention it now. I am in the middle of reading the book Dune.
Okay.
With plans to, I haven't seen the movies yet. I mean, I saw the David Lynch one way like many years ago, or at least I saw part of it. But I'm planning to watch the new ones, both one and two. Once I finish reading the book, I'm excited for it. I've heard really good things. And all that is to say, like, every time they mention black cardamom in this episode of Cheers, I'm like, that's probably the spice that they're fighting over
yes.
in Dune. I imagine that's what'll play out.
So. Well, yeah, it's spice, and it's a great weapon, obviously.
Clearly, it has an effect if you're allergic. Yeah, and with that, folks, we will dive right into this. We are on episode 10 already of season 7. This one is Bar Wars 2, The Woodman Strikes Back. And I can't imagine what that title might be referencing. What in pop culture that could possibly be a play on words for? Bar Wars 2, The Woodman Strikes Back. I'm drawing a blank.
I don't know, me either, especially since it's, you know, almost 10 years later.
You're right. This one written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, January 12th, 1989. It's Cheers versus Gary's Old Town Tavern once again. This time, they're competing over which bar makes the best Bloody Mary in Boston. Sam is desperate to vanquish Gary, having lost so many times before. He sends Carla out to scour the city for a secret ingredient, black cardamom spice, which Woody ruins after an allergic reaction. Rebecca even steals a sample of Gary's Bloody Mary mix so Cheers can discover its secret, but Woody squanders that sample too. Spoilers, it includes black cardamom. After the gang yells at Woody for screwing up their plans one too many times, he quits and storms off. Woody then goes to Gary's asking for a job. He convinces Gary of his sincerity, only to betray Gary later on when he withholds information that the time of the Bloody Mary contest has changed. Gary still makes it to Cheers in time for the contest and is declared the winner. After Gary leaves, feeling victorious, however, Sam reveals that the judge was actually Woody in disguise, and the contest hasn't started yet. But Gary sussed out their deception and returns in time for the actual contest. The judge, who is not Woody this time, declares Gary the winner yet again. But after Gary leaves, again, Carla pays off the judge, who she reveals is a friend of hers and not, in fact, the real judge, and also that the contest hasn't started yet. The gang celebrates the realization that they still have a chance to win the contest.
Gary won't win.
Yeah.
Gary won't win.
All right. What did you think about this one?
This was really, I really enjoyed this one. It was damn funny. And also, one thing I noticed about this one that sometimes doesn't always happen, even when they're really funny, this was a great ensemble episode. Everybody had at least one, if not more than one, good lines and bits, all the main characters. Like, you know, there was good stuff for everybody. Even Lilith, who only appears in the opening, still had a nice little bit there.
Yeah.
And Frasier, who only appears in, like, what, two brief scenes? And he still has some good lines in each of them.
He does. Yeah, everybody kind of brought it, even though very much a Woody-focused episode in the center of this this kind of ensemble.
But they also had a great thing, which I always like when they actually can just feature all the characters and not just have them sit there going, beer.
Right. And one of the things that I've noticed that kind of comes back when we get into these, spoiler, because there are many of these Bar Wars episodes. It's going to be a recurring thing throughout the rest of the series. Whenever we have these episodes where Cheers and Gary's is in competition, they're very plot heavy in terms of there being a lot going on. There's lots of short scenes, lots of new reveals, lots of twists and turns and things like that. And in those types of shows, sometimes you have so much plot and so much like new information and like dialogue that has to kind of convey that information. Sometimes the comedy can take a back seat in those episodes. Yeah. But this one still had plenty of laughs. There were still a lot of jokes in this one that I liked.
I thought so. And I also actually am impressed by the fact of how many of these there are. Because I didn't watch Cheers in the beginning. I was too young. But I did watch it somewhere around this time, maybe a year later, to the end. And then also a lot of times in reruns. And I remember Gary being there a lot. You know, I remember Gary and the Gary Elton Siren stuff a lot. And yet he only appeared, I looked him up, he's only in 3 episodes.
Well, this version of Gary is only in 3
episodes.
Oh, that's right. That's the thing. And I mentioned this before.
I forgot you did. Yes.
Because the character of Gary, I think, is in 6 episodes. But
that's still not a lot.
It's not. But it's basically one per season. And there's actually like a few times where they have Gary's Old Town Tavern, but Gary isn't featured in it for other things. We'll come back to those. But yeah, the big thing was that despite the fact that they kept bringing the character of Gary back every year, the two different actors who played him leapfrogged each other because his first appearance was in season 4, played by this actor who plays him in this one, Joel Polis. So this is actually his second time playing the character. But in between, back in season 6, he was played by Robert Desiderio. And then the next time we see him, it'll be, I think, Robert Desiderio again, and then Joel Polis, and then Desiderio.
So,
and I like them both. They both have two very different energies. I think the Robert Desiderio one is a little bit, maybe more intellectual, a little bit like classier. It's part of like this one feels a little bit more jockish to me. I don't know what that is, but yeah,
he comes across like he was playing on an opposite team against Sam.
Rivalry's
been going on for like the last 25 years.
Yeah, I think that's a good. That's probably right.
It must be the fact that the name Gary is said a lot in the show, like you said, even more than he's in. It just makes you think that he appears more because he played a character on the show Castle, John Raglan.
Mm.
And that name was, I remember that name because he said a lot in that show. He appears in one episode. But he mentioned, he's one of the people involved in the principal mystery about the mother of one of the main characters. So his name is said a lot throughout the series. And I'm like, oh yeah, he's only one episode.
So he's a guy who just, his shadow looms large, even if he doesn't have as much screen time. But we'll get more into the Gary of this episode. But first, as you mentioned, our teaser is a Lilith-focused teaser. She comes to Cheers alone this time to get away from Frasier. And they're like, oh, this is unusual, something going on. And Lilith confides in Carla in particular. Woody's also there getting her drink. Yeah, she confides that she is avoiding Frasier because he expects her to play along with one of his sexual fantasies that she might not care for, or at least she thinks she needs to get prepared for this one with a drink first. And Carla, who, as the audience, we should know better, Carla is not one to be trusted in this instance.
No.
But
God.
Lilith can't see that coming. But Carla says that she sympathizes, and she says that her husband Eddie got this fairy princess costume from the ice show, and he makes Carla dress up every Friday night and put a sex spell on him, which is hilarious to hear Rhea Perlman deliver that line. And Lilith tells Carla that Frasier likes to regress to his childhood, and he calls Lilith Mommy, which, okay, now we're going to have that image in our heads forever. Lilith has to then make him a cinnamon toast and strawberry milk, and then it's bath time, which Lilith confides is one of her favorites, and then she said they make love until the windows rattle, which is like, okay.
I love how the whole thing is just like, basically, with the exception of the comment about bath time, this whole like baby thing, and then it's like, and then just a hard right to, and then we make love until the windows rattle.
And Carla's like, oh man, yeah, I get it. She's like, oh, by the way, that fairy princess stuff, I just made that up. And she just walks off. And Lilith immediately is like, oh, I was just lying to you. And she's like, oh yeah, right. And Carla runs off to the pool room shouting, hey guys, because she has to tell them about Frasier's little kink that Lilith has just spoiled for the group. So.
Like, oh yes, there's somebody who doesn't know yet not to talk to Carla.
Everyone has to learn that lesson the hard way, and this is Lilith learning it.
Yeah. Yes,
Carla, you don't confide in her. We actually just saw it a couple of episodes ago when Carla was responsible for giving an important and timely bit of information to Frasier to keep his pants on that Carla refused to deliver. So,
of course.
All right, so we get into the episode proper. Norm comes in, he gets his customary greeting, and Woody goes, hey, Mr. Peterson, there's a cold one waiting for you. And Norm goes, I know, and if she calls, I am not here. Which, I like that one. It's actually, we haven't gotten, like, a Norm entrance slide joke in a long time at this point, I feel like.
So, maybe. I want to go back and pay it, look for them.
Yeah. We see that Sam is working on a Bloody Mary for their competition with Gary's Old Town Tavern. Let's get a little bit of the exposition. And he makes Norm test the drink. And Norm was like, oh, yeah, this isn't bad. And then he quickly pretends like he's dying of poisoning, which is...
Now, is it that the Bloody Mary mix is bad or that it's not beer?
Oh, good question. Good question.
Because it's Norm.
True,
so
true.
It could be just the fact that this is not beer. You're trying to kill me, Sam.
He actually, it seems like he's put out that he has to test the drink for free and try it.
Yeah. Exactly. Which, by the way, Sam also has a bottle Bloody Mary mix as one of his ingredients.
yeah, of course. Like, it doesn't seem like they deserve to win. Also, Norm's fake death is much more physical than we usually see Norm.
The few times Norm does physical stuff, he goes full into it. Because wasn't there, maybe it was one of the other episodes, that he like falls off the bar stool another time.
Oh, yeah. He looks like he slams hard, yeah.
He doesn't do it often, but when he does it, he puts it all. George Wendt puts it all in there.
Sam says that he is tired of losing to Gary's all the time. Gary has a better softball team, better tag football team. Cliff pipes in that Gary has better T-shirts, and they're like, T-shirts? And he's like, oh yeah. And he shows that he's actually wearing a Gary's Old Town Tavern T-shirt underneath his postal uniform,
which Norm has in red.
Right? Yeah.
Well, they're coming Norman, red now, and he's like a whole three-minute thing about the shirts.
Yeah. Which I've actually got to get one of those shirts just as a novelty thing. I have a Melville's seafood shirt. I have a Melville's T-shirt, but I need a Gary's one too. So Sam is like he's really focused. He's like, this time we gotta crush Gary. And he says, I want to hurt this guy where he lives. And speaking of that, have you seen where the guy lives? It's like everything about him is better.
He's remodeling Victorians on the cover of a Boston Monthly magazine or something.
So. Carla comes back. Sam had her searching Chinatown for a shop with a dead duck in the window. And Carla's like, yeah, it took me an hour because Carla was gone for like 3 hours or something. She goes, I defy you to find one shop in Chinatown that doesn't have a dead duck in the window. And she does. She finally finds the last ounce of black cardamom on the eastern seaboard. Sam believes that this is the secret ingredient. He puts it on the bar. Woody comes over and promptly sneezes so hard that he just spreads the powder like dust into the wind. He just sends it everywhere because he is allergic to it. He's like, did somebody put some black cardamom down here?
What are we going to do now? Well, I usually pack my face with ice.
Yeah. They're like, what do we do about the contest? He's like, who cares about the contest? In 20 minutes, I'm going to swell like a blowfish. Rebecca comes in, and there's a great little exchange. She's like, Sam, guess what I have under my coat? And Sam, you can tell that he's not doing his usual flirting with her because he's still obviously ticked off that they lost the black cardamom. And he's like venting, but he still has presence enough of mind to flirt with her because, like, if I guess right, can I keep him?
It's almost like he's doing it because he has to. I'm supposed to say this to you, but I don't have time, so let's just get it out of the way.
He doesn't know how not to, yeah. So Rebecca reveals that she stole some of Gary's Bloody Mary so that they can have it analyzed and, like, you know, kind of like reverse engineer the recipe or something. And they're like, how did you do it? And she's like wearing this like nice blue dress and everything. She kind of does a little twirl and she's like, how do you think? And they're like, well, or I think Carla's like, you did that little twirl thing. And when they all laughed at you, you just grabbed it and ran. And she gets really upset and put out by it. And they're like, okay, tell us the truth. She's like, no, it's exactly what Carla said happened.
That thing Carla said, yeah.
Cliff said, so there, Rebecca says she's going to take it to the corporate lab to have it analyzed, but Cliff says he can identify the ingredients by taste alone. And he mentioned that in medieval times, the Clavens were the royal tasters. To which Carla's like, I bet you were the royal something.
I thought they were the heirs to the Russian throne.
Yeah, that's because of their extra teeth or something, whatever.
Yes.
So Cliff takes it, does a shot of it. Adding no credence to the royal taster bit. He's like, I don't know what's in it, Sammy, but Gary makes the best Bloody Mary I've ever tasted. So the others all take a shot of it, and they're all like talking about how good it is, and Carla's like, Gary deserves to win because his drink is so good, and Rebecca says the taste was worth cramming herself into that dress. Norma's like, hey, even I would dress up like a hooker to get some of this stuff.
I love the dirty look she gives him, because it's almost like, really, Norm, you?
Right. Woody tries it, he takes a shot of it, and then quickly sneezes, dropping the whole bottle, which just shatters on the floor, and he's like, well, there's definitely black cardamom in this. And now that they are out of the sample to analyze. And that's when Gary comes in, like I said, this time played by Joel Polis. Previously, he had appeared in season 4 of the episode From Beer to Eternity when they played him in bowling.
Oh, yes, that's right, where Diane wins it.
And he brought them all towels to cry into after they lose the contest. And Sam gets very violent in this moment, like, or at least some violent imagery. He says he wants to shove the towel up Gary's nose, pull the end through his mouth, and buff his sinuses. Like, yeesh, that's pretty intense imagery.
That's very Looney Tunes.
Yeah, yeah. But then Gary says that he couldn't do it, and Sam's like, could not, and they go after that, like children. And Sam thinks he gets the last word, which he then celebrates with the guys at the other side of the bar.
So desperate to win anything that he'll take that.
Yeah. And does mention that he does mention that Cheers won the contest the first 2 years that it was over, but then since Gary's opened, he has won it the last 4 times or something.
That only means they've won it twice as many times. That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Woody.
Thank you, Woody, trying to put it down. So, and then Carla dumps the contents of a cigarette ashtray into Gary's shirt pocket. And he's like, I see you're still hiring the cool Grace Kelly type for waitresses.
The fun thing about that is she dumps it in, but when he hits it, you can hear the change sound. Like as she's dumping it in. So it wasn't ashes.
Yeah. Then Gary leaves, announcing for all to hear that he has exclusive satellite coverage of the World Welterweight title fight. So as he walks out, tons of people follow him to go see the fight, including Norman Cliff, who tried to slip out too, but Carla kind of catches them by the stairs. She's like, where are you going? And they're just taking a stretch, walking around the bar, and they just kind of slip around the other side without breaking the stride.
Oh, that's good.
We cut to some point later on, and now Fraser comes in, mentioning that he is a bachelor for the weekend because Lilith is attending a conference in Albany on gender stereotyping. And they're like, what is gender stereotyping? And he explains that it's unfairly attributing certain modes of behavior exclusively to one sex. Norm goes, that sounds kind of boring. Why did she go to that? And Fraser goes, who knows? You know women.
Classy Fraser.
Yeah. I love it when Fraser is like oddly sexist and kind of like condescending. It just fits so perfectly with his character at this time, this era.
Yeah.
Rebecca then is talking to the contest judge, who agrees to hold the contest at Cheers because it's not as nearly as crowded as Gary's, which is sort of a backhanded compliment.
You won't have that problem here. Oh, wait. Yeah. I like the look on her face as she realized what she said.
You're right. And then there's a TV commercial for Gary's. He actually promoted his bar and this contest specifically with a television commercial. And he says that he had hidden cameras in Cheers that showed the regulars talking about and praising his Bloody Mary, which is weird because his hidden cameras look a lot like they're from the same angle that James Burrow's cameras were pointed at.
Because Yeah. Cheers has what? They have Frasier, who's not the greatest psychiatrist. Cliff, you know, those are the professionals. They have a mailman and they have a failed accountant. You know, maybe, you know, Gary has obviously editors because he got that thing done pretty quickly. And, you know, maybe James Royals drinks there. I believe it.
Good point. Good point. Sam goes, now I'm mad. And Woody goes, yeah, I can tell. And Sam's like, how can you tell? Is the vein in my forehead bulging? No. Is my nostrils flaring? No. Is my jaw clenched? No. He's like, then how can you tell? He's like, what do you say? You just said you're mad. He's like, you're just not mad. And he's like, well, now I'm really mad. And Woody's like, yeah, I can tell. Again, they're like almost about
okay, enough. I love that because it's not just a Woody joke, but it also kind of works with like Sam's a bit of his like hyper masculinity. He's like, because these are all like masculine tough things. My nostrils are flaring. I have a clenched jaw.
Right,
the
right.
The vein. Yep. It's like, right. No, you said you were mad.
Right, as well as his like hypersensitivity about his appearance and everything
yes.
like that. Yeah,
and that too.
So Woody wants to use his acting talents to infiltrate Gary's Old Tom Tavern because he feels guilty. He's the one whose allergy caused them to blow away the black cardamom, and he broke the jar. He broke the door in the men's room, and Rebecca's like, wait, what? And Woody's like, at the bus station downtown. I broke that one.
Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket.
Carla warns him. She's like, I don't think this is a good idea for Woody. She's like, those guys at Gary's are vicious. She says, they could strip you naked, paint you red, and put you on the subway. And he goes, they wouldn't do that. And Carla goes, they did it to me, only I got the best of them. And Norm's like, how's that? She goes, I loved it. Just like, they come up with this plan, but they're paranoid that Gary could be eavesdropping, so they all agree to meet at another location. And they all just, in their mind, acting surreptitiously and covertly, walk around the bar and casually, nonchalantly, go outside into the alley stairwell, which is actually the most like awkward, comically forced thing they could do.
And the thing is, I realized something when watching that, and I think it must be what I'm guessing because of Sam Malone. Because did you watch? I forget. We might have mentioned it before. Have you watched The Good Place?
I know. I still haven't seen that yet. I know.
There is a scene. Now, Ted Danson is not in that scene, but basically the exact same thing happens. They say, okay, one of the characters says, walk around, separate up and meet up over here. And then they basically kind of, they do the exact same thing. They wander like a circle, basically, and then clump right together again. And the other person basically is like, you guys are the worst. Just get over here. Which is basically exactly what happens here.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. So we cut to, again, some amount of time later, the back of the bar, and Cliff is now using code. He mentioned 2200 Zulu. Agent Hoosier is overdue, Hoosier being his code name for Woody, which is good because he's from Indiana. Makes sense. So he says, abort Operation Red Dawn. And Norma's like, what in God's name are you talking about? And I love this. Cliff has this whole little spiel about how he considered becoming a spy, but ultimately decided to avoid going into intelligence. Carla's like, that seems fair since it avoided going into you. So, so they go back, they go up to the door, and there's this amazing shot of Norm in front of the door, but kind of looking towards the bar, and we just see Woody's head popping down into the window at the doorway because he's upside down with tape over his mouth and he's strung up, hanging upside down. And they go to rescue to untie him and everything. There's a note that says from compliments with Gary, and Woody is like trying to shout something with the tape over his mouth, like urgently trying to get their attention. So Sam rips the tape off really quickly and he's like, what were you trying to say? And Woody goes, don't rip off the tape. So, after the commercial, we come back and like we're continuing the scene. They've got Woody down. He's like sitting on the floor, and he tells them how his attempt to infiltrate Gary's did not work off because they saw through his nun costume. And they're like, "You dressed as a nun." He's like, "It was either that or one of the Von Trapp children."
I guess we know what play they were doing.
Yeah, I guess so. Pretty clear.
I didn't go with the other option that could have been there. Extra costumes could have been there from that movie.
I guess so.
I just thought of that. I was like, ooh, that could have been worse.
Yeah, good thing you didn't do that one, yeah. And Rebecca and Carla call Woody and his idea stupid, and Sam inadvertently, unintentionally calls it stupid too, or calls Woody's reaction to it stupid. And Woody storms off feeling like he's not appreciated. Woody then goes to Gary's looking for a job, and he convinces Gary that he's sincere, and like this is actually like supported by two of Gary's goons, the ones who actually help tie him up. And these guys are Greg and Vince, played by Greg Collins and Vincent Pantone. And one of them mentions that he actually, like, he was there, like, at Shira's spying, so they actually have their spies out watching the things. And he said that he saw Woody storm off, and it looked realistic when he quit. So it kind of vouches for them.
Although I did rewatch that, I could not find him. I was looking to see if he was there.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I mean, but I couldn't see everything, so, you know, there's plenty of ways to say he was there, but I was hoping to see him, because that would have been a nice little touch, especially for this episode.
Well, was anybody in that scene, like, dressed like a nun or somebody from The Sound of Music, maybe? You know?
No Von Trapps.
Okay. So, at some point, like, days later now, again, lots of time passing, lots of scene changes and stuff like that, Gary mentioned that he is proud of the work that Woody has been doing for the bar. Woody gives him a letter that was supposed to be delivered days ago informing Gary that the contest has been moved up 2 hours. And he gives him a little finger gun, gotcha, and we reveal that this whole thing was Woody going there undercover when he's still loyal to Cheers. And Woody mocks Gary, but as he is backing up out of the bar, he bumps into the two goons that came after him, and he's like, I think I'm going to get tied up again. Except Woody shoves both elbows into the guy's guts, like double elbows them to the guts, and then runs out of the bar quick. And it's just it's a little moment, a little staging that doesn't seem too out of place for Cheers, because it's not like a big action scene. But I guess for Cheers, it kind of is a little bit. And this just made me think, you know, at the time in 1989, we might not have been able to see it coming, but Woody Harrelson will end up having kind of a career in a lot of more action-oriented movies and productions and stuff like that.
Yes, because also that part where he does the finger gun with the gotcha gear, there's a little bit of a little bit of malice to that.
Yeah.
And, like, that seems a bit less Woody Boyd and more characters Woody Harrelson would play.
Right, yeah.
I almost forgot. So when Woody goes to Gary to get the job, two things I want to say about that. One, when Woody tells him, because he said he has to go back, doesn't want to go back to Cheers except to get his last check and to get the only key to his apartment. And Gary's like, well, what did you do last night? And Woody goes into this whole spiel about how he walked here and then crossed the bridge and then went down and turned around, went back to the bridge, looked at the newsstand, thought about getting a paper, decided not. A, you know, despite what we're going to reveal in a minute, you know that happened.
Yeah.
And two, and that's the reason that made me think about The Good Place before, because that is another scene from The Good Place with Ted Danson. He's talking to somebody, and somebody basically goes through their whole imaginary day of like that. I'm going to get up, stretch, get out of bed, go downstairs, go to the fridge. Damn, we out of milk. Walk into the car, turn the key, go. It's like, you don't have to go through the whole day.
Nice.
So that's why it made me think of that, because there's two scenes in this episode that are like, they have to be callbacks.
Mm. There's another little moment in the scene when he's working for Gary that I'll come back to when we come to my home runs, because it's one of my runners up. But anyway, so we come back now. They're at Cheers for the contest, and Gary gets to Cheers just before the contest is over, and his drink wins. The judge declares that there's still enough time for Gary to enter, and then he takes a sip, and he's like, hands down the winner. So Gary leaves feeling victorious. But the judge, they reveal, is actually Woody in disguise, and they pull off the makeup and the glasses and everything, and it's Woody wearing a fake beard and eyebrows and everything, and he looks a lot like the guy they had playing the judge in the previous scene.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Sam set this whole thing up to make Gary think that he had won, so he wouldn't come to the contest in the real time. And you get the impression that a lot of people, including like a lot of the extras and everybody, was at the moment they were all in on this gag, but not Frasier, because Frasier had to kind of like go in there and like actually see Woody in costume to believe it.
Well, because probably when they were planning it, Frasier was over at Gary's watching the. Oh no, he wasn't watching the fight, but he did leave later on when Gary told him to had the best Bloody Mary mix.
Oh, yeah.
He gave that one guy a ride.
Yeah, that's right.
Gary must. It makes sense actually, because Gary had that whole scene where Rebecca, you know, they were tasting the Bloody Mary mix. He had that on tape. Plus, he must have known Rebecca stole it. He must have changed the mix because there's no black cardamom, obviously.
Clearly, yeah, because if Gary, or if Woody tastes it and he doesn't have that allergic reaction, this must be a different mix. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, But Gary does return for what appears to be the real contest with what appears to be the real judge, and he wins. And he leaves feeling victorious again, mocking cheers every bit as much. But after the contest is over, Carla pays off this judge. And this guy, by the way, they never, I don't believe they ever say his name in the show, but he's credited as Ed Fogarty, not Judge. They give him a full name. And he is played by Robert O'Reilly, who some fans of the Fire and Water Network might know because he played the same Klingon character. And now I can't remember what his name is, but he was a Klingon character in both Star Trek The Next Generation and Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And he also did a lot of voice work for video games and other stuff, including other Star Trek games. But, yeah, so anyway, so Carla pays that guy off, and Sam is like, you're supposed to bribe the judge before the contest, Carla. And she's like, well, if this guy was the real judge, but he's not.
Okay, Larry. She calls him Larry. I'm just watching it now. She called him Larry.
She called him Larry, yes, but he's credited as Ed Fogarty. So I don't know what that was about.
It's not even, like, close.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
She bitched that he's not, like, so the kind of, like, she's like, the real judge is some woman from, like, Worcester or something. I don't remember where she mentioned.
Cambridge,
yeah. Yeah, they haven't had the contest yet, and they're like, so how much did this cost? And Carla reveals that she came up with this idea the moment after Gary won the last time. And she's been keeping this to herself the whole time. And even better than that, the money she used to pay off her friend, the fake judge, she got from Gary's wallet, which she stole at the last moment. And so the Greg gang is all, they're shouting because they still have a chance for the contest. And they're like, Gary, they're like, yeah, they're all shouting and everything like that. And Gary walks in the door again. And he's like, you guys, I am on to you. And you just hear the pitifulness in Sam's voice. He's like, I give up. He's like, I can't do this again. And Gary's like, I am on to you guys. Which one of you stole my wallet? And they're like, Oh yeah, we have your wallet. And they give it back to him, and Gary leaves. And not wanting to spoil it or ruin it again, they continue chanting, but this time in a whisper, Gary won't win! Gary won't win! Gary won't win! Because they can't risk the chance of alerting him, but they also have to celebrate.
Because he might come back one more time.
He might come back one more time, and I think that's entirely plausible that they lose the contest again because Gary. Or they just lose it on the merits. they just if Sam's Bloody Mary was anything to go by in the beginning, in the first scene, they probably just end up losing on their own. But
remember the important thing.
Gary won't win.
That's the important thing.
That is the important thing. So because of all of the quick changes and quick scenes, Norm had 4 beers this episode. Basically, every time like they switch a day or come back or something like that, Norm has a different beer in front of him. And it's actually, I almost lost count because in the very beginning, when he first shows up, Woody pours him a beer. But then Sam gives him the Bloody Mary to taste. And when Sam gives him that Bloody Mary, the beer that was in front of Norm disappears for like the next 5 minutes. It's like they took it out of the shot or something like that. And we have this whole thing where they're testing the Bloody Marys and everybody's doing it. And it's not until like Norm is like doing his own shot and saying that he would dress up like a hooker for some of Gary's mix that the beer comes back again. But it's clearly not a different beer because it's like half of it is gone. So it's this weird phantom beer that kind of disappears from view for a couple of, like 5 minutes. But it's obviously the same beer that Woody pours him when he first walks in. So that whole thing was just one beer in that scene. So, yeah, he had 4 beers this episode, which brings him up to 630 for the series up to this point. All right, so
every time you say that, I keep wishing I could go back in time to figure out how much I drank in college.
Well, yeah.
Better I don't.
Yeah, every day we'll see. Getting into the superlatives, who was your employee of the week?
It has to be Woody. This was such a Woody episode. He did so much, and like we said, he did more than just he went out of Woody Boyd a little bit, and we saw a little bit of Woody Harrelson's future stuff.
Yeah, and I agree. And when they have guest stars that really do a solid job, I like to reward them too. So I almost gave this to Gary. I almost gave Gary the MVP, but I couldn't because I still do think I like Woody was so good in this one. All of his different things, from the sneezing to the costume and everything that he was doing, the physical stunts, the hanging upside down, all of that.
And he still did the regular Woody stuff. The whole, you know, I can tell you're mad.
Yeah, you're right. Just the simple, straight down the middle Woody things that we come to expect. Yeah, you're right.
He did it all. It's like, no, this is the one of the best. Like, this is the one that Woody Harrelson was using for like auditions. Like, here, look at this.
Yeah. Speaking of which, for the home run, for my favorite, I think probably it's not so much a joke as it is the reveal. But I think my favorite part is Woody's makeup job as the judge, because when they actually gave him the wig and the eyebrows and the beard and everything like that, like he looked different. Like it was you could fool me, but yeah.
Yeah, they really made it look like the other guy. Plus that whole little, it wasn't my home run, but I do have to admit that part when he's talking to Frazier, he's like, all part of the plan, all part of the plan, all part of the plan. Gary comes in, not part of the plan.
Not part of the plan. That was good. And then I've got a runner-up, but what was your favorite part first?
Well, I mean, I do have one or two runner-ups, but I think my favorite, they started off the whole little thing about what Frazier expects. Because it's like I said, it's the left turn. It's the whole, he's going to call me mommy. I have to make him cinnamon toast and strawberry milk. We have bath time, my favorite. And then I tuck him in and sing All the Pretty Horses. And then we make love until the windows rattle. And just like that hard right of like, wait, what? Like, you didn't even ease into it. Like, at least Carla's, you can kind of, it seems a bit more like that kind of thing. Frazier's put was completely out there and then just went,
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my home run.
It is one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, there are some personal bits of information about some people that you just don't want to know. what thing might turn them on? But at the same time, it's like, everybody has something like this, so no judgment here. But it's yeah, we're still going to have fun with it. The runner-up that I alluded to before, it's when Woody first goes to Gary, and he's like, Gary offers him the job, and he goes back to the storeroom to put on an apron, and the guy, Gary's goons, are kind of talking to him. They're like, I don't know if you can trust this guy. This might be a setup. And like, do you really think he's on the level? And Woody comes out with an apron. He's like, Gary, I found a nickel in this apron. Do you know who it belongs to, or should I put up a flyer? And Gary's just like, I think we can trust him.
There, I mean, of course, one or two things I mentioned already. The Woody with the whole thing about his keys.
And, yes.
Yeah, his whole night. And the whole bit about the t-shirts.
Yeah.
Because everyone just starts red now? Like, they come in that color? I gotta order them. Oh, they're all real cotton, too. It's like a commercial. It's like people on a commercial. When you see people like on a commercial, all of a sudden like, they start talking about a product with all the lines of the products, like, no, that's not how people talk. Like, that's, and that here they are doing that. Yeah. But I think the closest runner-up is actually kind of the mirror to my home run. It's Frazier talking to Carla when he's talking about batching it, you know, being a bachelor because Lilith's away. And she goes, oh, what, Lilith finally blew her brains out? He goes, no, but thank you for asking about her. And Carla gives him, like, a look, like, of course, because for her, that is asking about her.
Yeah, that was good. All right. Well, that was another Cheers episode, another Bar Wars episode. But the saga will continue. Al, thank you very much for being my guest on this episode again.
Anytime.
Yeah. Where else can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, if you want to hear more from me, now, of course, I'm not talking about TV always, but occasionally. But you can find me on Resurrections and Adam Warlock and Thanos podcast, which is all about the Marvel Comics characters, Adam Warlock and Thanos. And since both of them have been in movies, you know, we will talk about movies and TV occasionally, but mostly comics. Just go type in Adam Warlock or Thanos, whatever search podcatcher you're using, and it'll pop up. Or, you know, you can find me on, well, most social media, Twitter, X, whatever that's called, Blue Sky. Just go to @AdamThanosPod.
Awesome. Very cool. Yeah, thanks again for being on this episode, and thanks to all of you out there who listen to CheersCast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. CheersCast is supported by the Right On Podcast Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FWpodcasts to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
Well, now, just a minute. That's what... Oh, my God. This is amazing makeup. This is just incredible. This was part of some elaborate ruse, huh?
Yeah, we set the whole thing up.
Yeah, that way we can get Gary out of here before the real contest starts.
Yeah, and when you made such a fool of yourself pretending to be a nun.
That was part of the plan.
When you went to work for Gary.
Part of the plan.
And we told Gary that the time of the contest had changed.
All part of the plan.
Hey, guys. I'm ready for the real contest. Not part of the plan.